Welcome to the Barack Obama Approved World's Greatest Podcast. Hyphenation. I'm your dashing, daring, debonair host, Kellen Conley. So, two things, really quickly. Two things or just one thing? All right, first of all, y'all have heard my friend Anthony Sellers on the show twice now. He was on the Avengers, the Endgame episode a few episodes back. And then we had the 107 Miles episode, I believe, where we traveled to Parkersburg before we went to Browns camp last year. Anthony is one of my best friends, okay? So I just went into the mall where I've been recording the episodes here lately. And I don't record them in the mall or anything like that, but you know, I have been going to, I'm in, like, the mall's close to work. I've said this before. I just go to the parking lot and I record here because, one, unlike Kroger used to be, there isn't that much activity. The other episode was kind of weird because homeboy walked up on me and was like, "Do you have a lighter?" And I was like, "No, like, I'm recording the world's greatest podcast. Don't you know who I am? I'm Kellen Conley, bitch, you know?" But Anthony used to work for a place in the mall. I'm not going to say the name. I don't even know if I've said it before. Place we used to work together. He recently left on good terms and is striking out on his own as an Uber Lyft driver. So if anybody needs a ride in Morgantown, you can pull up your Uber and Lyft app. You see Anthony S. come up, or however they come up when you order a driver, a car. That's my man, and you be nice to him, all right? That's my man's in them. That's pretty good. I walk in the mall because I was like, all right, I'm going to start recording this episode. And I'm going to go use the bathroom and everything. So I worked in the mall from 2008 until 2011. Went to the other store across town for a while. And then ended up coming back to the mall in late 2011. Yeah. And then I actually eventually quit in May of 2012. And that was, other than my brief stint in between my old job and my current job, when I got terminated. I haven't been back since. And Anthony's the reason now I was able to go back to my old job, because he vouched for me and they covered me for 3 or 4 weeks before I went back to my current job. Anyway, I'm walking to the bathroom and there's a Chick-fil-A in there. And I see this guy standing at Chick-fil-A. Now, the uniform for the store, it's like khakis, normally brown pants, khakis, and these light blue, powder blue polo shirts. And so I see someone standing in one of those and I immediately and correctly assume that he works at said establishment. And I'll be damned if he didn't look like a clone of Anthony. Like, he was taller and he was a little bit wider, and he had more of a gut. But the haircut almost, and then he has glasses, and even the way I felt like he was standing at Chick-fil-A waiting for his food, it looked like Anthony. He was like a clone gone wrong. So, Anthony, if you're listening to this, and I know you're probably not, I just want to let you know that they have had, they made an attempt to clone you. It was imperfect. But he was walking and looked like he was operational, and he was carrying some coffees and whatever else he got from Chick-fil-A back to said location where he used to work. So they may have an imperfect clone of you running around. His name's probably Tony or something like that. But now that that's out of the way, welcome to the Barack Obama Approved World's Greatest Podcast again, ladies and gentlemen. Happy to be here with you. Parking lot is not popping. Overcast today. We had some scattered showers most of yesterday, and then supposed to get more of the same today. Someone's over there making a loud noise. Don't they know I'm recording the world's greatest podcast? Damn it. And I know my voice echoes off of the building a little bit, so people probably walk through here, drive in, and like, well, that guy's really talking to himself. He's really giving it to somebody. That's right, I'm giving it to the people because I am a man of the people. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, one day when I have a live show, I will segue to that. I'll be like, that's right, I do it for the people because I am, and everybody go, man of the people. All four of y'all. I'm supposed to warm up, though, for everybody who's been waiting for the Morgantown weather report. You're not even going to hear this on the day that I'm actually talking about it. But we here, man. Happy to be here. Not almost read something out loud that did not need to be read out loud. So let me take that down. Nothing bad. Just other podcast stuff that I was about to read like it was vital to the show. I don't need to tell y'all that. I don't think he wants me sharing that information that he's telling me about Monster in the Podcast, Monster in the Man Podcast, which I think he just sent me a new episode. So that will be up before you hear this episode of Monster or Monster in the Man, before you hear this episode of Hyphenation. Because we've been rolling. I just dropped 109 last night, and I recorded 109. I finished that at the end of last week, and I'd started it. I finished that last week. 110 is done. I recorded 110 on Tuesday. And then this is probably be 111. And then as long as I'm still talking to Mark, because I'm going to confirm that today, he will be 112. So we've been rolling. August has been good to us, man. I am not complaining at all. It feels like April in this bitch, because the past 2 years, April's been very good. Maybe I just like A-months, man. I mean, Angel, Aaliyah, awesome, you know, all those things go together. And apparently April and August do for me as well. So we're here. We're not queer, but we rep for them. And let's get into it a little bit. So first thing I want to start with is I'm going to go through my trusty docs here. Make sure there's nothing else that I have missed. So, because I had a long list of stuff. So, I do want to go ahead and add this. This podcast I've been listening to. But I'm going to make sure I recommend that to y'all shortly. Alright, so, let's see. I don't know if I'm going to do a King of R&B pod. That thing's kind of beat. And I don't know how I'm going to do it. So, When the X-Tex is done... Hovind NFL is done. Vini Vidi Vici is 20 is done. Wesley Snipes is done. Vacation Wedding's done. Waze is done. Whatever I wanted to say about Sleeping Beauty is done. Puddle and Clutch is done. And then Rick/The Walking Dead ends is done. And that's how we do it, man. Some interesting things that's on the radar for those of you that are interested. I don't know. I just said interesting things for people who are interested. Let's see. I am planning a Kevin Smith podcast with Michael Lamarique because the new Jay and Silent Bob reboot film comes out in October, I believe. So we will be linking soon to discuss the various films of Kevin Smith. So I'm excited about that. I told y'all about the Jay-Z Volume 3 20 Years, Blueprint 3 10 Years episode. Planning on having Tyler from the Hamilton episode come back on and talk about a couple Netflix shows with me, Sex Education and Dead to Me. And then I don't even know if they agreed to this. But one day we got on the topic, and me and the Brain Trust, and we were talking about Sex in the City. So that's kind of like one of those... not a bucket list pod, but it's kind of like if we can pull this together, because getting all four of us is always a pain, because me and Marcus are normally good, Lamb's good, Erica's the one who we have trouble pulling in, because Eric is busiest that night when we normally record these. So, well, busiest as in either he's working or he's sleeping, because he has to work, because he's a very responsible individual. Shout out to Handsome Bing. So, yeah, maybe talking about Sex in the City with the Brain Trust. I don't know. So there's nothing else on here, but I do want to tell y'all that because he is who he is, my semi-regular co-host, Marcus Show Mad Love Robinson, who also has a website that helps bring you Hyphenation because I love his website, themarcrob.wordpress.com, Marcus Robinson, he gave me a topic. I was looking for picks of Ja Rule. And if you've seen the cover for 110 by now, which you may have, you should have seen the cover for 110 by now. If you've seen the cover for 110, and I really hope I remember to name that episode Thug Unmotivation 101, because I picked out an entirely different name. I haven't done the cover yet. And if I forget it and use that other title, which is something kind of a play on rules, on word rules, a play on words with Andrew Luck, and then using a Ja Rule lyric, who I talked about in that episode. If I don't use Thug Unmotivation 101, somebody kick me. Anyway, Ja Rule was on that cover. And me and Marcus spent a good chunk of, when was that, Tuesday? Yeah, because I recorded that on, Monday. Monday evening. We spent a good chunk of time trying to find pictures of old Ja Rule. Like, I didn't want a recent picture. As Marcus said, Ja Rule's not the most handsome dude. So I was trying to, the era I was talking about was 1999 when Vinny Vidivici came out. And so I was like, I want a photo from then or backstage, or I'll even take something from maybe leading into Rule 336, but I didn't want him to have the braids because in Rule 336, he did have the braids. Yeah, I didn't say that to Marcus, but he knew what I was looking for. I said 99-2000 is what I'm looking for Ja. And he found this picture of Ja and Aaliyah together from the backstage store, he thought. And it was just the Ja Rule picture I was looking for. Ja looked high. He looked young. He looked hungry. You know, he wasn't eating off of Between You and Me, and then eventually Always on Time and his whole run. He wasn't eating well yet. You know, he was signed, but he was hungry. And then he was taking a picture, a flicture, with the young goddess Aaliyah. And I was like, man, that's a great picture, but he need to get Ja out of that picture, man. He's like, yo, did you talk about Aaliyah's 18th anniversary of her passing away? And I was like, no, actually, I did not. And he was like, and I was like, I kind of wish I had on the Ja Rule pod now, because then been a perfect opportunity to use that picture. And I'm going to steal that picture from the Brain Trust chat and post it for y'all, so y'all know what I'm talking about. Because it was a really dope picture. So shout out to him. Yo. Welcome to Yo with me and Anthony. We totally just found out Jadeveon Clowney got traded to the Seahawks. What do you think about this move, Anthony?
Seahawks replacing Frank Clark.
They are.
Because they traded him to, what, KC?
I'm not sure. I haven't. Yeah. David. We are up to date on our sports here on Yo.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Watch out for the Seahawks.
Did you get it?
Listen to us on iTunes. Breaking news, August 31st, 2019. Welcome to Yo. On this episode, what's his name? LeSean McCoy just got released by the Buffalo Bills. Anthony, thoughts?
Surprise.
Check us out on iTunes. August 31st, 2019. Welcome to Yo. The Mountaineers are up 20-13. Anthony, thoughts?
Be up a lot more.
This has been Yo. Check us out on iTunes. But yeah, man, it's officially been 18 years since Aaliyah died. It's been 18 years since I left high school, 18 years since I started college, and there are children who were born in 2001 who are now graduated and either going off to trade schools or not going to school and working and or going to college or whatever their plan is, who spent 18 years without Aaliyah. So let me say first and foremost, we have a child named Aaliyah. I kind of threw Aaliyah out on a lark, kind of like I did with our dog Brooklyn, because when we got Brooklyn in 2006, I didn't want a dog. I mean, me and Angel been together 3 years at that point. We were planning on staying together, but I didn't want a dog. And my friend had someone who had a deal in Chihuahuas, and Angel really wanted one, so he went to Saberton, and there was one that looked like a cow. It was white with black spots, and then there was a little brown one. And the one with white and black spots is one Angel liked first, but he wasn't, didn't seem like he wanted to play. And then Brooklyn came over and was all playful, and that was all she wrote. Then we had a dog. So we're literally on the way back home with this puppy. Okay? And Angel looks at me and says, do you want to name him? And I'm like, grumble, grumble, grumble. This episode is also brought to you by McDonald's Coffee. Do you want to name them? I'm like, grumble. I mean, I guess I want to name them Brooklyn. I like that. Brooklyn it is. Why did I choose Brooklyn? Because Jay-Z is from Brooklyn. And that was all the rhyme and reason. So Brooklyn was named Brooklyn from that. And then I eventually christened him Brooklyn Peter Griffin Cannon Conley because I was really into Family Guy at that time. And Brooklyn did dumb stuff like Peter Griffin. Angel did not put that on his birth certificate or whatever it is, registration. I'm severely disappointed. But it is what it is. And so Aaliyah was also a lark. Oh, and then the thing with Brooklyn is everybody thinks he's a girl because he has his name's Brooklyn. And people think Brooklyn is a girl's name. Nah, Brooklyn is named for one of the hardest places in the world. Marcy Projects. What up? Chia. Cough up a lung where I'm from, Marcy, son. Ain't nothing nice. Home to many places, but I'm Brooklyn zone. Yeah. I messed up that lyric. And with Aaliyah, it was also a lark because Angel's thing with naming Aaliyah was, you can't name her after any of my students. She got pregnant in 2013. She had been teaching since 2007, I think, like substituting. So there was 6 years, and I don't know if she's including kids she had when she was doing her student teaching, of girls' names that we couldn't use. So our go-to when we first got together, we were just bullshitting or whatever, we were going to name our kid Jasmine. And my plan was Jasmine Gwendolyn Conley. Jasmine was just the name that we both liked. Gwendolyn, of course, was the name of, you guessed it, Spider-Man's first love, Gwen Stacy. And then, of course, last name would be Conley. But she's had Jasmine's, didn't want to do Jasmine anymore. So it came down to three names. One was Athena. I kind of liked the first second, but I was like, God, it sounds so hoity-toity, you know? Athena can, or it was either hoity-toity or Southern. So I'd be disappointed if Aaliyah didn't talk like this with a Southern accent. Like, my stars and garters. This meal is delightful, mama. Oh, man. Like, I would want her to be a biracial Southern belle. And I know that wasn't going to be happening. So that was my first thought. So Athena was out. I threw Electra out there also in a lark. Because I was like, no way she goes for Electra. Because Electra was obviously for Electra Nachos. I think I'm saying that right. From Daredevil Acclaim. But then I was also like, Electra. Man, that sounds a little over the top too, you know? And one thing I didn't want to do, because I know how people are, I didn't want people to judge my daughter because of what her name was. It's like, oh, this girl, Electra, starting here. Wonder what that so-and-so is about, you know? That girl, Athena's here. Oh. And we also tried to make sure there was no names we were giving her that could be made fun of easily in school. So, I tossed out Aaliyah. I didn't think it would stick. And he was like, I like Aaliyah. I'm like, are you serious? Dope. She pushed on Athena and Electra a little bit, but Aaliyah obviously won out. Aaliyah said the other night, though, she was like, I could have been named Electra. She has no idea who Electra the comic book character was. So she's like, I could have been named Electra. Yeah, kid. Sorry about that. But with the spelling and everything, I was like, I want to spell it A-A-L-I-Y-A-H. My relationship with Aaliyah, the singer, first came into being. My relationship. Y'all know what I mean. I first heard her song, AJ, or Back and Forth. Back and Forth is the first time I heard her. I had made a trip to Winchester to spend time with my birth mother for the weekend. And it was probably, Oh, it was 94, maybe 95 or so. And it was the first time I heard that song. So that was my first exposure to it. And that was really it. I didn't have too much other, because I only heard it when I was listening to DC radio stations while I was in Winchester, Virginia. Then I came back home, and again, I've told y'all this story. We didn't have satellite. We just had the four basic channels, 4, 5, 7, and 9, which is, for those playing along at home, NBC, Fox, ABC, and CBS, and sometimes we got PBS. Once we got Prime Star, 1995, and satellite, then I started watching MTV and BET and getting to get more exposed to music quicker than what I was being exposed to it prior, with no actual R&B rap station, barely a pop station. There was a pop station, but it was very pop then. Like, pop now compared to pop in the early 90s, like, they sound nothing alike. Like, the pop of the 90s almost sounds adult contemporary compared to some of the things get played on radio now. But I mean, obviously, fads, trends change, so that makes sense. But Aaliyah came out in 1996, I want to say. Podcasting 101, ladies and gentlemen, it's time. I know y'all been waiting for me to do this, son. Let's see. A-A-L-I-Y-A-H. No, it's not. Oh. One in a Million. I almost put the other one in. One in a Million, Aaliyah, 96. Nailed it. So, I had seen the videos for If Your Girl Only Knew That You Was Trying to Get With Me. Yeah. Obviously, this is her first album without R. Kelly. And it may be her best-selling album of her career. I'm not going to look too hard to try to figure that out. I'm going to have to go back and read this. Obviously, this is the album where she linked up with Timbaland and Missy. That's right. Because she was no longer with the Aura. So, thank you, Columbia House, or BMG, whatever music group we were using at the time, for all those CDs for a couple cents. And then my dad was paying for everything. He wasn't the dude who would run off and owe Columbia House $200. He paid everything. So I copped One in a Million because I like One in a Million, or If Your Girl Only Knew, a lot. And I was like, I like Aaliyah. I want to hear what her album's about. And my mind was blown all the way backwards. Let me just redo this track list. Beats for the Streets. Intro, feature Missy Elliott. Producer, Timbaland. Hot Like Fire, Timbaland. And that's not even the remix. Because that Hot Like Fire, the OG is good. The remix is super dope. I'm going to make it hot like fire. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Come on. One in a Million. Great. I'm looking for a girl like you. And here we go. Her and Tretch on that joint. Produced by KG. Tim did One in a Million. Tim did Hot Like Fire. If Your Girl Only Knew, that was Tim. Choosy Lover, Old School, New School, which of course was an old Ozzy Brothers song. She killed that. Did a Got to Give It Up. A cover, essentially, with Slick Rick on it. Yeah. Four Page Letter. Timbaland again. Everything's Gonna Be Alright, Rodney Jerkins. And then you got Giving You More, Don't Know Who Jay Dibbs Is, Got Your Back, Jermaine Dupri. Wonder if Jay-Z told him he could do that, produce that. Oh, and by the way, JD came out and said he never had a conversation with Jay-Z. So shut up, Brian Michael Cox. Who knows why he's saying that now. Jay-Z's probably like, you need to get your man. Never Giving Up, featuring Severius Polk. Don't know who that is. Heartbroken, Timbaland. Never Coming Back, Timbaland. Ladies in the House, Missy and Timbaland. Produced by Timbaland. The One I Gave My Heart To, which is actually really, really pretty. A really, really pretty ballad. And then the very last song was Came to Give Love Outro, featuring Timbaland. Produced by Timbaland. Bro. So much heat on this album. So I was immediately big Aaliyah fan. And then she went away for a while. Everybody's like, oh, well, okay. Aaliyah's not on the scene. I know she obviously was in a couple films. Because wasn't she... Oh, see, now I'm going to have to look. Let's see. She was... Oh, okay. No, she was only in Romeo Must Die in 2000. And then Queen of the Damned came out after her death. I thought she was on... I might be mixing up with those Tommy Hilfiger commercials. I thought she was in that Faculty movie with Usher and everything. But yeah, like One in a Million was 96. She took 5 years off. And just to remind you, Age Ain't Nothing But a Number, when it came out, Aaliyah was super young. That came out in 94. Aaliyah was born in 79. So 89, she was 10. So she's 15 when Age Ain't Nothing But a Number came out. 3 years later, or 2 years later, she was barely 17 when she did One in a Million. So this is her natural period of time before she released the third album, where you know, when they're because she wasn't singing songs that were geared towards a kid-friendly audience. Because it's kind of like, if you look at Immature's catalog and think about Batman, Marcus Houston, and all the songs they used to sing as Immature, and then think about some of the things that he's put out once he was an adult. You know, you transition. Like Bieber, for example, had that whole first album, baby, 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 ah, and then he took a couple of years off, came back, and he's like, if I was your boyfriend, and that shit was a little bit more funky. And then obviously he made the true jump to I'm an adult now when he came out with that, the most recent one, with, if you like the way you looked at my, maybe you should go and love yourself. And now he's killing DJ Khaled remixes and showing up everybody. Because he killed No Favor. No Favor was all him. That was ridiculous. And this fool don't want to put out another album. Yes, I am on board saying I want another Justin Bieber album. Sue me. If y'all listen to 110 episodes of this podcast, 11 episodes, and don't know what I'm about, and know that I like weird things, then please keep listening. I appreciate that. I'm 1-1 this morning. Oh, man. So, she took some time off and then came back in 2001 with Aaliyah. And, of course, the very first single came out in April that year. And it was in that weird period, at least for me. Let me just tell you my little evaluation of it. There was that transitional period for Timbaland and Missy. And it was like that transition from the beats from Missy's The Real World album, which had She's a Bitch on it, to Missy's Get Your Freak On, which was 2000, I believe. And then 2001 was Get Your Freak On. And then you get to 2002, and I know Missy did a lot of production, but still, that's when you get into the, what's it called? 2002 is when Work It came out, but I think Missy produced that. Don't quote me, I'm not checking. So Tim was doing all kinds of things, like, and if you look at Jay's discography, you can tell that, because there's songs on Volume 3, and we're going to talk about this when I get with Marcus, but he produced It's Hot, turned around and produced NYMP, then gave you Come and Get Me. Like, all those songs are so vastly different. Tim was killing it then. So when We Need a Resolution came out, it was just super different, man. It was like nothing else on the radio. I'm just going to play a little sample of it. Soon, there we go. We Need a Resolution, Aaliyah. Plug in here just to show y'all. I'm going to get hit with copyright. Oh, wait. See, you hear it knocks. Don't get me wrong. No idea who that is. I'm tired of arguing, girl. Yeah, so it's knocking. It's knocking. But just listen to how different that beat is. It doesn't sound like anything else on the radio at that time. And it just sounded so different than everything else. And I checked my phone real quick. That was my old job calling me. And then she hits me with the text. Okay. Let me answer this real quick. Are you working today? Yes. At 11. Okay. And I'll go, sorry about that. But it does sound different. It was a whole, like, and this was a whole peak era for Missy, Timbaland, Aaliyah, and Genuine caught a lot of this too. Because his second album, which was, what was it called? The Life was the third album. It was the one that had, My Whole Life Has Changed. That was the one that was on that one. Damn it. 9 o'clock, all alone. So Anxious. Yeah, So Anxious on the album. And then there was another joint on Genuine's album. Like, they were killing the game between the four of them. There was so much dope stuff coming out between them. So when you heard that, nobody knew what was going on at all. So it threw me off, but as you heard, it knocked, but not, there was nothing else that sounded like that, okay? I say all that to say this. Sorry, I'm reading my text messages. Trying to help out a former coworker with some other people that's coming through the job. So, sorry. So I was like, man, I really like this. I'm cool with it. But then the joint that came out that and it says it wasn't released until November of 2001. No, actually, it's true. Okay. But yeah, she had the single out. She had the video out, and her album was coming. That's the thing we knew. The album was released in July of 2001. So the album had literally been out a month before she passed away. And for those who don't know, Aaliyah was in a plane accident. Let me read this to y'all. August 25th, 2001, 6:50, Aaliyah, members of the record company, boarded a twin-engine Cessna from Bahamas to go to Florida. After they finished filming the video for Rock the Boat, airplane was small. So let's see, the plane went down, crashed shortly after takeoff, about 200 feet from the end of the runway, and exploded. So they went up, they went down, and then Aaliyah was gone. And it was insane. Honest, and her funeral was on August 31st, so the 18th anniversary of that's coming up. So her album had been out a month, and then she dies in this horrific plane crash. And nothing like this had ever happened to us. And I say us, like, because when it happened, I was at school. I had just started Potomac State in Kaiser. Like, I started August 20th. And I had met Wes, who I've talked about on the podcast. May have met Ed, but me and Ed weren't tight yet. And me and Wes used to go in the student union. And we play pool. I was god-awful at it. Still god-awful at it. Not a fan of pool. I'll do it if I have to be social. But I don't like pool. And we were playing pool and watching music videos, and the news came on and said, singer Aaliyah has been killed in a plane crash. I want to say it was Kurt Loder. Shout out to him who came on and said the news. Yeah, Aaliyah Dana Houghton has died in a plane crash. And she was, God, how old is she? She was 22 years old. Yeah. Because she turned 20 in 99. So, 21 years old, 22 years old, gone. Cause we had heard the stories, at least I did, cause I was a music nerd, about the 27 Club. Kurt happened when I was in elementary school. Kurt Cobain killing himself, that was a big deal for a lot of people. There were some people who were truly attached to Kurt and his music, but then it also became the cool thing to wear Nirvana shirts and be goth and dark and everything. I know there's people that truly live their life, but I know there's a lot of people in my junior high who just did that because it was a cool thing to do. It's like, oh, I'm going to get into punk. It wasn't even punk. shit, alternative. I'm going to get an alternative, and I'm going to buy these Nirvana shirts and dye my hair dark and be different. And it worked for some people, and other people never stuck, you know? So I remember that, and I'm trying to think of anybody that was even comparable to her. Like, Princess Di happened, but that had nothing to do with music. I knew who she was because my mom was a big fan of hers and had that subscription to People Magazine I've told y'all about. But, and Tupac and Biggie had been murdered, but this was the first, and now, and those were tragedies, don't get me wrong, but this was the first. It was just completely out of nowhere, and I keep going back to this. Not to say that Biggie and Tupac's deaths weren't going out, out of nowhere, but we knew there was a West Coast, East Coast feud. So was anybody truly surprised? No, unfortunately, but Aaliyah took everybody by surprise. And she passed, and everybody was in shock. And then the joint came out, man, because I remember I was home for winter break, I think. It was 2002. And I went to my sister's house, my stepsister. And she, again, picked up KYS. So I was just chilling at the house. I think I was hanging out with my nephews. And we were listening to radio. And this song came on, and it was More Than a Woman. And I was like, oh my God, this song is incredible. I don't even remember when they dropped Rock the Boat. Because Rock the Boat, it didn't seem like they even put that out. Like they said, here, the single for Rock the Boat was, they put it out in January 2002. They dropped, just to show you how behind I was, More Than a Woman came out in November. I didn't hear it till December, January of a few months later. Yeah, the music video, yeah, Aaliyah was on 106 and Park 2 days before she died and announced the video. So they finally put out the video. Oh, October 9th is when they released the video for Rock the Boat. And in the More Than a Woman video, that came out. Yeah, she shot that before she shot the Rock the Boat video. And I don't remember when it came out. I'm looking. Oh, here we go. January 14th. So I heard it before the video came out for More Than a Woman, but More Than a Woman was my oh, such my jam, man. That song went so hard. Just do it one time for. But imagine being a barely 19-year-old kid having this major icon of our my youth disappear. And then have this drop. Come on, fam. I should rap over this if I ever write a song. Timbaland was crazy in a good way. So yeah, it's been 18 years. It's hard to believe. Like every August, I used to remember that it would get to late August, and then somehow, hey, I'm trying to record the world's greatest podcast over here, and you're over there beeping and backing up. Ryan Hart Food Service. Yeah, man, but that song came out, and I know I didn't cry over it. I was not as in touch with my feelings when I was 19. I would have cried now. But I was 19 then, so I did not cry over Aaliyah passing or anything like that. But there's just so much stuff that she was able to do. And let's not forget Try Again came out in 2000. That was from Romeo's Die. That joint was a hit. And then let's not forget one of our biggest songs, which is from Dr. Doolittle, I believe. Let's see. Did I nail it? Dr. Doolittle. Yes. Are You That Somebody? That came out in 98. She pops up 2 years later on this joint and kills it. Let's do it one time for the people. I'm sorry. I know this ain't good editing, but I don't care. Like, come on, fam. Like, who does that?
Dirty South. Ain't got really feel me. Feel us. East Coast, feel me. Feel us. West Coast, feel me. Say what? Dirty South. Here we go. Can y'all really feel me? Baby girl. East Coast, feel me. West Coast, feel me. Can you feel us? Dirty South.
Dirty, dirty.
Can y'all really feel me? Feel it.
East Coast, this song was everywhere.
Dirty South. Dirty, dirty, dirty. Can y'all really feel me? I got me. East Coast, feel me. West Coast, feel me.
Can you imagine?
I've been watching you like a hawk from the sky. I fly and you were my prey.
Can you imagine if Aaliyah was still here now? Can you imagine what she had done? Would there be a Beyonce? Would Beyonce be as big if Aaliyah was still there? Would there be a Hov and B? Because in case y'all ain't know, Aaliyah and Hov dated when she was like 20. And then she got with Dane. So that was always awkward. Would there be a Hov and B? Would there be a beehive? A bayhive, however you say that shit. Beehive. If Aaliyah was still alive today. The sky was the limit. And she was taken away from us. And like I was saying, I used to sit here when August rolled around and been a little sad for the loss of her. And in recent years, it's kind of slipped by me. So I'm glad Marcus reminded me of this. Because she really did have a huge impact in the small time frame. We literally had 7 years of her on the national scene. And I don't know when Back and Forth dropped. If Back and Forth dropped in 93, we had 8 years of this phenomenal voice from this young woman who was just coming into her own. And then she was just torn away. And I'm not afraid to say it. She was bad. She was bad. Lord, 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 you know that you were beautiful, Leah. So I am not afraid to admit if anybody says, did you name her after Leah, the singer? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. To be able to... I know some people are like, I gotta have a son. No, and I want, like, the idea is that you have a son and then they carry on their last name's legacy and everything. Because obviously the way it normally goes is a man loves a woman, they get married, and then the woman takes the last man's name, and then her name just goes away. I told Angel she didn't have to do that, but she chose to. With this, since I didn't get Gwendolyn, since Jasmine didn't work out, to know that I have my daughter in this world who is named and spelled exactly like Aaliyah, who passed away, who had a huge impact on me in my youth, and I always loved her music, and I did think she was beautiful, but it was mostly for the music and her talents and what she was able to do. And she was lightning in a bottle, man. And the fact that we had her, even for a small frame of time, is something that I'll always remember fondly, as I obviously have just shared with you. So words of wisdom for today and a recommendation, go back, get on your streaming services, listen to some Aaliyah, do it. And words of wisdom is, and we'll come back to it. I have time, obviously. I do want to tell y'all that Hyphen Nation is brought to you by Hyphen Podcast Group. a Morgantown, West Virginia-based podcast collective, bringing great podcasts to the people, because that's what we do when we do it and how we do it. Cha-cha-chia. See, I thought I would talk about Aaliyah for a minute, and here it is 40 minutes in. That's why it's the world's greatest podcast, ladies and gentlemen. HyphenPodcastGroup.com. That's where you can find everything. And of course, Hyphen Nation is available on podcasts, playing platforms worldwide. If you find one that doesn't have Hyphen Nation, let me know so I can fix it. Okay? Okay, Cupcake?
It's like sound advice or whatever. It's like comics, conventions, and cosplay, or whatever. It's like ladies' night, or whatever. It's like wrestling, or whatever. It's like parenting, or whatever. It's like anime, or whatever. It's like spiritual warfare, or whatever. It's like great friends, awesome people, coming around doing what we do best. Or whatever. You should watch, listen, and follow. Or whatever. It's like a podcast or whatever.
All right, so your boy forgot his blood pressure medicine. So I am headed home to get it. Now, I'm not too worried about missing a day, but I'm not supposed to do that. So, and you know, I honestly have not gone a day without it. Either is like maybe one time that I forgot an Angel. No, it's not one time. Maybe Angel brought it to me once and I just happened to forget. This is the second time I've forgotten and I feel all right, but I'm not going to take any chances. I'm just going to go ahead and go cop this medicine. So y'all going to ride with me while I go back across town real quick to get the medicine and then come back over here. So, after that inspiring conversation about Aaliyah, I was really happy with that segment. Like, I think it was probably one of the best segments I've had on Hyphen Nation. I might go back and listen to it later and I'm like, oh man, that was garbage. What was I thinking? Maybe, let's be fair. But the other plan for this episode was I was going to talk about Stranger Things 3. But since I don't know how long I may talk about it, and it doesn't feel like a 10-minute or even a 15-minute conversation, considering all the things that went down, I am going to put a pin in that, and then I will actually come back to that in a future episode here shortly. It'll be the next couple where I discuss Stranger Things 3 at length and go over everything that happened to the people of that small, weird town in Indiana whose name is escaping me. So it's gonna be real great. I'll be like, what's his name? Yeah, there was a monster, and what's his name did this, and what's her name did this. I'm gonna make sure I have names, and I'm prepared to sit down and really talk at length about this because there's a lot to cover, a lot to unpack. So I definitely want to do that with y'all. But something I do want to tell y'all about. One, I have a recommendation. A recent Bill Simmons podcast show he had on David Spade. I've been listening to a lot of Bill Simmons lately. And this episode is absolutely delightful. Spade talks about coming up with SNL and the experience of different people and being part of that Adam Sandler family of movies and Netflix deal and his new show on Comedy Central. But he's hilarious, and I actually really enjoyed the show. David Spade's someone who I feel like is kind of underrated because he's not that guy that, he doesn't like ring any bells. Like he doesn't check all, I don't know, like when people say, oh, who's your favorite comedian, like who, what's some of your favorite funny people that are in movies or actors in funny movies, I feel like David Spade just never comes up. They'll say Sandler, maybe someone will say Chris Rock, even though he doesn't have a whole lot of funny movies. Some people will even go back and say Farley, Chevy Chase, Bill Murray, Eddie Murphy, but you just don't. Even for Michael Myers, he has several. And then even maybe some people say, I like Dana Carvey and Wayne's World. You know, some people like that Master of Disguise film they put out a few years ago. But David Spade just doesn't get a lot of props for what he has been able to do over the length of his career. So it was a really good sit down. I recommend that. Now, my next recommendation is a little bit weird. And I say that to say this. All right. I'm just going to double check, make sure there's nothing else on here. I did write down Alex Inc. In case anybody's interested. Alex Inc. was a show on ABC. It was on last spring. I believe it was spring of 2018. It was only 10 episodes and it got canceled. Stars Zach Braff of Scrubs fame. His wife on that show, she is on The Good Place, and she's very good on that show. And the reason I even watched it, besides it being Zach Braff, I mean, I support Scrubs alumni as much as I can. Like, I've been wanting to watch that show that John C. McGinley's on, I think he has two or three seasons out because it looks funny. Yeah, Tia Sikar, Hillary Ann Matthews, and Michael Imperioli are all on this show. And it was only 10 episodes, but what it's about is there's this radio broadcaster. He quits radio broadcasting because he wants to start a podcast company, and that's what he does. It's about that journey and his everyday life with his family and putting together this company. It's based off of the Startup Podcast. If you ever heard of that, it is a riff of their story. And I enjoyed the 10 episodes. It's a nice little thing you can watch real quick that's not going to... It's not going to exhaust you. You don't got to think too much. Throw it on, have a couple laughs, enjoy the story. You may hate it after the first episode. You may hate Zach Braff. A lot of people apparently used to really hate Zach Braff back in the day from his Garden State days and some of the other films. Let's call them unique films that he was choosing to do outside of the Scrubs universe. So... please, if you're interested, check out Alex Inc. But here's where we're going to get to the last topic. Last topic! So, it was a few weeks ago, maybe it was a week or two ago, and I was editing. I don't know if I was editing for me, I don't know if I was posting Monster and a Man, but I was working on something. I might have been working on that Alapow episode that I was on with Marcus for Handsome Bane for Eric, and I had on... on the E channel, and it was one of those things where it was like a movies we love, and it was a movie that ironically enough I love, so I had turned it on and it was towards the back half of it, so that movie ended, and then the movie that came on afterwards was this film called Something Borrowed. This film is from 2011. It stars Kate Hudson. It stars Jennifer Goodwin. Now Kate Hudson, of course, is the daughter of Goldie Hawn, Kurt Russell's her stepfather, and she's been in several films over her career. She's made her living pretty much doing rom-coms, rom-dramedies, kind of thing. Probably one of the ones that immediately comes to mind is You, Me, and Dupree. She's pretty funny in that with Matt Dillon and Owen Wilson. Then, of course, she was in How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. So she has many films to her name in this genre. But Kate Hudson's not the main character. She's the biggest name in the movie, next to my man John Krasinski, who he was coming off the tail end of his run on The Office around 2011, because I believe The Office ended in 2012 or 2013. And the premise of this movie is Jennifer Goodwin is Kate Hudson's best friend. And Jennifer Goodwin's a lawyer, and Kate Hudson is... Kate Hudson at her peak. I know she's gained some weight recently. I believe she started having kids, and I know she was doing that Fabletics thing on IG. And I haven't seen Kate Hudson as much stuff. I think she's very focused on the family at this time. But Kate Hudson is engaged to her friend from law school. And like, she throws a surprise 30th birthday party for Rachel, Jennifer Goodwin's character. Only other thing I know Jennifer Goodwin from was He's Just Not That Into You. Her character ended up with Justin Long. Yes, I watched that movie. I've said this before. Y'all know I watch weird things, okay? And I enjoy them when I shouldn't, okay? You don't gotta go watch How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. You don't have to go watch He's Just Not That Into You to get the gist. You probably don't even have to watch this. In fact, this is a recommendation if you just want to watch a very strange film come together, okay? Now, with that said, Kate Hudson's character, and we're just going to call her... Oh, she had a real interesting name that's not coming to me. We're just going to call her Kate. No, we're going to call her Goldie's kid. Goldie's kid throws Rachel a surprise 30th birthday party. She gets trash. Goldie's kid does. And her fiance, who's getting married in like 69 days, 68 days, something like that, takes her home because she's drunk. Then Rachel is leaving with her very close childhood friend, John Krasinski's character, Ethan. And the fiance comes back. His name is Dex. Yeah, he's one of those dudes. And he's like, oh, well, my fiance left her Chanel purse. And it's I'm going to try to find it. And Rachel says, not the Chanel. And Ethan's like, not the Chanel. Let's go home. And she's like, oh, it's like a $6,000 handbag or something like that. And Ethan's like, I didn't even know that. So Rachel stays back with Dex to look for the purse. She finds it. They go back outside the restaurant, trying to hail a cab. Pretty much because Dex and Rachel are old friends, he could tell that Rachel wasn't that impressed by her birthday party, and it felt more like look at me on Goldie's kid's part to be like, hey, I threw my best friend a 30th surprise party, everybody look at me, you know? That's a relationship. It's very focused on Goldie's kid and not very focused on Rachel, but don't get me wrong, they truly do are best friends and love each other. It's not, I feel like it's kind of an equal push and pull throughout the film. So Dex says, well, let's go have one more drink. You know, let's just go do it. So they go to a bar, have a drink, and I mean like maybe a Heineken or two, like nothing too serious, and they have been drinking at the party. But Rachel comes out of her mouth and says, it's no wonder I used to have a crush on you in law school. And Ethan hears that, and Ethan's like, oh, well, like, wow. Like, you could tell when she said it, Ethan had no idea that she was ever into him. And Jennifer Goodwin's not bad looking. But when fun Goldie's kid shows up, and later in the film, Goldie's kid even says that Ethan got with her because she's fun. That's just how she is. So Jennifer Goodwin's not lacking. She was a little bit more nerdy in law school. She's grown into her look, so to speak. She's learned how to bring out the best of her. It's a movie. She looks like a very pretty woman, a very attractive woman, okay? Anyway, Dex and her have a drink. They catch a cab together. He tells the cabbie two stops. Rachel starts blabbing about, oh my goodness, I shouldn't have said anything to you. I'm so sorry. Forget I said it. Ethan grabs her and kisses her. They pause. Like, Rachel's like, what are you doing? And then she immediately starts kissing him back. And then it's on like Donkey Kong. And fade to black. Credits come up. Not the credits. Title card comes up. Something Borrowed. Okay, that's how we get into the story. And I'm not going to break down this whole thing for you, but I'll get into the weird gist. So we've established that Rachel, best friend of Goldie's daughter, and Dex, fiance of Goldie's daughter, they are making out in the back of this car. So they have now cheated on their best friend and fiance, respectively. Now from here, guys, various hijinks ensue. And for the curious, I just took my medicine. I grabbed a stuffed pepper that Angel made last night, a Philly steak stuffed pepper. Very good. So I copped that. That'll be my lunch. No spending money on lunch today. Shouldn't have bought that damn McDonald's breakfast sandwich this morning, but I couldn't help it. Friday night, honey's jumping. Get it right. Okay, so we have established. Oh, my little girl's over there playing. Aaliyah, daddy's home. Look, daddy's over here. Hi, I love you. Oh, Lord. Anyway, we've established that Kate Hudson's character, you know what, let's just do it right. I gots to know. Something Borrowed cast.
The cast of Something Borrowed includes Colin Egglesfield, Jennifer Goodwin, and 29 others.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Dex played by Colin Egglesfield. Darcy is Kate Hudson's character's name. So yeah, Ashley Williams, who played Victoria on How I Met Your Mother's around. Steve Howie plays this dude named Marcus, if you know him. And then John Krasinski is Ethan. So Darcy. So Rachel and Ethan are now both cheating on Darcy. So I missed the part where they came back from commercial initially, and I thought they had just kissed. No, they went back to hers and boned down. That's right. So they went all the way. Like, if we're already doing it, we're just going to do it. So obviously, Rachel's mortified. Dex is mortified. They separate. Dex comes up with a cover story. And then that's all she wrote, okay? Then, like, Rachel is Darcy's maid of honor. So, at some point, everything's kind of calmed down. They go on Dex's beach house in the Hamptons, and like all six of these people. So Ethan is with Claire. Claire is played by Ashley Williams, who played Victoria on How I Met Your Mother. Ethan is with Claire. He randomly hooked up with her. It didn't mean anything to him, but she is now obsessed with him because she really likes him. He doesn't have the balls to tell her that he just wanted a one-night stand. So he's kind of stuck with her. They take Rachel to the Hamptons to hook up with Marcus. She has no interest in Marcus. Marcus is a total player. She really doesn't have any interest, okay? Then, of course, Darcy and Dex are there. They go to the Hamptons and... Oh man, why did I say what happened at the Hamptons? All right, so they're at the Hamptons. They still haven't talked about anything. And then Dex and Darcy end up having super loud sex and the whole house can hear. And just awkward conversations happen over the course of the next couple days. Rachel says, I gotta go home, I gotta work. She lies to get away because obviously her and Dex just hooked up. There's something there. Dex takes her to get the bus. They discuss things. He says he wasn't that drunk and he feels a certain way about her. And they kind of leave it hanging there. So from there, Darcy asks Rachel, hey, go watch this band that we want to play at our wedding. I will meet you there. Dex has to work. And so Rachel's like, okay. She gets there. No Darcy. Darcy cancels. And who shows up but Dex, who loves his band. They watch the band a little bit. They kind of have a confrontation about what happened. And then Rachel walks away saying everything's too late because he says that he has feelings for her. Tell me you feel the same way. She says, I can't. They walk outside. He follows her. And then she tells him that she does feel the same way and they make out. So now they're in this really weird space where they legit, it wasn't just a random bad idea hookup. Now they legit have feelings for each other. They go back to law school because that's told through flashbacks. That's told through flashbacks that there was something between them as being very good friends in law school and they just never acted on it. And then Darcy showed up one night and he even asked her if it was okay if he hung out with Darcy and she said yes. She didn't mean it. It comes up later in the movie. So they're making out or whatever. They have this little secret fling thing going. So he's like, hey, why don't you... come up to Hamptons again this weekend because apparently they go every weekend and I'd like to see you again. I can't get you off my mind. She stupidly agrees to this. They all go to the Hamptons. All usual suspects. Ethan's there and Darcy's there and Marcus is there, who brought another girl this time, and Claire's there. So they're all there. Dex and Rachel don't get to talk at all. Ethan starts piecing together that there's something going on between the two of them. And so she once again comes back to, goes back into the city, works normal. She is mad at him for something that happened. I don't remember. She gets mad at him several times throughout the movie. Rachel gets mad at Dex. She tells Ethan that what's going on between them. And then this happens. 4th of July weekend, the plan is everybody's going to Hamptons again. Well, Dex is going to say he has to work. And Rachel's also going to say she cannot go to the Hamptons, leaving Darcy and Claire to definitely go to the Hamptons and Marcus. And also, I don't know where Ethan was during this. I don't think Ethan made that third trip to the Hamptons. Ethan awkwardly made the second trip because there was flooding in his apartment. But you find out later there's a, more of a reason why he wanted to be there. So everybody leaves except for Dex and Rachel. They spend the 4th of July weekend together. They spend the night together. Dex tells her that he loves her. And ultimately, they have a nice weekend. They run into his parents. His dad sees something going on with this other girl all of a sudden. His mom is super happy about him getting married to Darcy. And apparently she's been sick and this is kind of giving her a little bit of life back to her. His dad says, that's not what our family does. Knock it off, whatever's going on with this other girl. He said, because sometimes getting what you want doesn't mean it's necessarily right. So he pretty much says, leave him alone. Okay? Leave her alone. They part ways, and then after that, Dex doesn't talk to Rachel at all for weeks. No phone calls, no nothing. So Ethan's getting pissed. Ethan, like, he's just stringing you along. He's using you. Like, how long is this going to go on until their wedding night, until their first anniversary? And then Darcy and Rachel's like, they're not even married yet. And then Ethan's like, I know, they're not married. Like, if he really is all these things to you and saying all these things, he would call off his wedding. But he's not doing that. He's being selfish. So Ethan's getting really mad at Dex because he's stringing along Rachel. Yeah. So somehow, some way, they all end up in the Hamptons again for the weekend, okay? And essentially, after embarrassing herself, well, that was the last time where she fell down and then Darcy's like, did you hurt your vagina? And Rachel's like, no, I didn't hurt my vagina. I hurt the area next to my vagina. It was pretty funny in the moment. Anyway, they go to Hamptons again. They go to that same bar they're at. Rachel works up the nerve to tell Dex. She's like, you're right. Or tell Dex, she's like, I want you to leave her and I want you to be with me. He says that he can't. So she storms off. She had already stormed off in tears because they were already arguing about something. Because what had happened was Ethan tried to spill the beans during a badminton game that gone wrong. It's actually kind of hilarious. But yeah, it was a badminton game that was gone wrong. Get off your phone. People are driving behind you. You almost ran into that bus. Yeah, they were playing Truth or Dare badminton because he's trying to get everybody to tell secrets. Because at one point after Darcy's bachelorette party, she stays at Rachel's. Dex comes over to see Rachel for the first time since 4th of July. Darcy's there. Rachel has to lie and say, I've been sleeping with Ethan. So there's like, oh, we're going to tell secrets. That's what Ethan's like, oh, we're telling secrets? Cool, because he wants everything out in the open. He thinks this whole thing's ridiculous. He's like, and then, of course, Darcy's like, oh, well, Ethan and Rachel are sleeping together. And Ethan's like, what? Blah, 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 blah. And then Ethan is about to spill the beans about Dex and Rachel's affair. Rachel literally smacks him in the face with a badminton racket, and then he falls out and nothing is told there. But then Darcy clearly knows something is going on, so she's trying to figure out what's going on. It's crazy. Also, in the middle of all this, Ethan decides he's moving to London. After he told Claire, who was desperate for him, that he was gay. Yeah, and then of course Claire finds out that supposedly Ethan and Rachel are hooking up and realizes he's not gay, and she says, well, at least I tried, to Rachel. And then that's when Rachel finally worked up the nerve to say to Dex, I want you to leave Darcy and be with me. And he says, I can't. So everything's kind of done. Rachel runs away to London a few weeks later to see your man, see Ethan, who's over there now. And she gets there and they're talking, and she says that she's done with all that. And at this point, she doesn't even know she's going to be in the wedding. Like, Darcy's furious, but Rachel finally worked up the nerve to tell Darcy no, because her whole life she felt like she's been doing everything for Darcy. So get to that point, and then Ethan decides this is the perfect time to tell Darcy or Rachel he has feelings for her. Because the whole movie, I'm thinking, okay, they're looking like Dex and Rachel the way they're going. But ultimately, I don't think they can pull that off because of how they have ultimately got together with the cheating. There's going to be some kind of swerve to Ethan's character, John Krasinski. That's what I'm thinking in my head, right? Well, I was wrong. Because Ethan says, I'm in love with you. And And it's like, oh, the big moment for him. He finally confesses that he's always had feelings with her and he loves her and he was acting that way and running from Claire and was in the Hamptons to be with Rachel because he has feelings for her. He just can never tell her because they've always been best friends. But then he also tells her, I know that you're in love with someone else. So it's not fair of me to ask you to love me now and maybe not ever. So they have a nice little moment where he gets permanently friend-zoned. It sucks for him because I'm glad because I didn't want it to just be John Krasinski by default because he's the only other dude that she liked. She never liked the Marcus dude. Okay? So she heads back to the States, getting ready for the wedding. She literally gets dropped off at her apartment. Dex is sitting on the steps, has not seen Dex since the night he told her that he could not be with her, couldn't break off the wedding. Okay? And Dex's thought process was, the wedding makes my mother really happy, and my father said that I cannot leave my bride-to-be at the altar to be with this other woman now. That was Dex's whole game plan. But there is a scene of the family and out to dinner with Darcy and Dex, and Dex's mom looks at him and can tell that he's not happy. And they don't ever go into detail about why he's not happy or what happened in that moment. But I'm thinking that he had a heart-to-heart with his mother and that kind of pushed him over. So Dex follows her up to the apartment and she's like, I don't want nothing to do with you. I don't, Darcy, you don't deserve Darcy. Or Darcy deserves better than you. I deserve better and so do you, essentially. But Rachel's pretty much done. And this is how Rachel, and then Dex goes up to the party. He's like, I broke off the wedding. And I'm like, he's lying. He's lying. He didn't break off the wedding. But it turns out he did. And they're having a moment. And I think they share a kiss because he wants to be with her. And then ultimately, here comes Darcy to tell Rachel the news that she broke off the wedding after Dex did, of course. Oh, by the way, she did admit to Rachel after their sleepover, after a bachelorette party, that she was sleeping with someone, and it was only once, and it was on 4th of July, and that also that Ethan hadn't touched her since before 4th of July. So technically, in a weird way, not Ethan, Dex. Dex had been faithful to Rachel since they actually had that weekend together, 4th of July, which is weirdly sweet, I guess. Okay, stay with me. Darcy tells Rachel, Marcus, the dude that was trying to hook up with Rachel beginning of the movie, that he is the friend, or the guy that, well, I don't know. She said it was somebody from work, but Marcus is the dude she's been hooking up with. It went from one time to several times, and oh, by the way, she's pregnant. Dex overhears all of this. Darcy leaves, knocks again, sees his jacket. Dex's jacket. Loses her shit. Her and Dex have a huge conversation. I mean, and then, of course, Darcy has a conversation with Rachel. Pretty much airs them out. Never want to talk to you again, blah, blah, blah. So the friendship is over to make this new relationship with Dex and Rachel work. 2 months later, Rachel and Darcy see each other for the first time since that day. They kind of seem like they made up. They both kind of, Rachel apologized for it. No, Rachel was cold-hearted, though. Rachel said, I'm sorry for not telling you or something like that. It was the way she carried it was like, it's not, I'm sorry that I slept with him and that I'm in love with him. I'm sorry for how it happened or something. So it was like, I don't regret what I did to get him because we are in love and I'm happy. But then I regret the way that it happened to you is the way she did it. So she kind of still stood up for herself while apologizing. But they have a nice little moment. The movie ends. Darcy says is the happiest she's ever been, even before when she thought she was going to get married to Dex. And the movie ends, and Dex and Rachel are together. So that is the whole plot of Something Borrowed. Now, when I first watched this, I didn't see the end. I fell asleep. And Charlotte from Sex and the City was screaming at some point in the middle of the night because the TV was still on and woke me up and scared me. So last night, I sat down with Angel, and we watched Something Borrowed. And it was a ride, man. So if you want to see a crazy-ass rom-com that's pretty funny, that they pretty much try to make it better that Darcy and Dex didn't stay together by... Darcy and Dex didn't stay together. No, Darcy... Sorry. They try to make it better that Dex and Rachel had an affair by having Darcy go even crazier by sleeping with his good friend and getting pregnant by him to try to justify the affair. Watch Something Borrowed.
You see it out of the corner of your eye, at the end of an alleyway that didn't exist before. The light seems to flicker and threatens to sputter out. It's a theater, and there's only one film playing. You don't recognize the title, although it stirs something in your mind. Welcome to The Mirage, the theater of movies that do not exist. Cinematic Mirage is a podcast exclusive to the Domicile of Dread Patreon about films that were greenlit that never made it to the silver screen. Join Thomas DJ as he explores how the projects came together, why they stopped production, and what they may have been about. It's free to all Patreons at the $5 a month level or more. To learn more and to sign up, go to patreon.com/DJ's Domicile of Dread. Cinematic Mirage. A seat's waiting for you.
Hyphen Nation, the Barack Obama approved world's greatest podcast, is brought to you by Hyphen Podcast Group, a Morgantown, West Virginia based podcast collective bringing great podcasts to the people. HyphenPodcastGroup.com, and also Mark Robb, MarcRobb, my semi-regular co-host. It's his website. Mark is showing mad love, Robinson. That website is the Mark Robb, themarcrob.wordpress.com. He's got a new football piece up, because by the time you hear this, it'll be Sunday, and it just dropped on Friday, and I started this pod earlier this week, but it's now Friday, the magic of audio! I'm leaving work, like, bro, I'm about to get some wings and beer. That's all I got to say. Wings and a beer. Wherever I can find them, make them crispy and make them tasty, and the beer cold. That's all I ask. It's not a lot to ask, right? I don't think so. Any hoozle. Power of positivity is real. Get that negativity out of your life. No matter what it may be, no matter what you have to do, you have to do you. So do it. Chill. Try your best to have meaningful interactions with people. You never know what the next man or woman is going through. A few kind words from you could change someone's whole perspective. You never know what hits home, and vice versa, when you bring negative energy. So try to have genuine interactions with people. Hug your mother. Shake your father's hand. Visit your sister. Punch your brother. Call your cousin. Email your grandmother. Write your grandfather a letter. Send your godfather a telegram. And send your godmother a postcard. Give people their flowers while they are here. Let them know what you mean to them, because you let them know what they mean to you, because you never know when it's your time to go. Word up. I remember I tried to make this word app thing on Twitter. I was like, yeah, word app, because it was supposed to be like the way you said it. It was supposed to make it sound like you're saying what up, but it was like word app. I'm pretty corny. Words of wisdom for today. Maybe sometimes the problem is you. Or maybe even better, sometimes you are the asshole. And when I say this, there are many people out there who have different things going on in their life, and when they talk to other people about said issues, they find everything wrong with what has been done to them. They are always the victim. Well, this happened and this happened, and if this person didn't say this, and if this had went my way here, and if the skies had parted at 3:06 p.m. instead of 3:07 p.m., things wouldn't be this way. I once wrote a song. It's called Make Your Own Luck. It's on the Minds Mixtape Volume 3. And not to say I don't believe in luck, but I also feel like you have a lot to do with the things that happen to you. What you put into the world is what you get out of the world. The power of positivity, ladies and gentlemen. So sometimes when you might be feeling like the world's against you, or you're having a lot of issues with different things, problems popping up, and maybe even the same problems popping up in new spaces with new people, maybe you need to step back and ask, am I the asshole? There's a fun subreddit on Reddit called Am I the Asshole? I believe it's called A-I-T-A-H is what they call the subreddit. And basically people come on there like, man, none of my bridesmaids want to pay for my wedding dress. And I don't want to pay anything. Am I the asshole? And people will naturally say, yeah, you're the asshole. Like, why would your bridesmaids be expected to pay for your wedding dress? You know? Sometimes take yourself out of your shoes, step back and ask, am I the asshole? Because if you're the asshole, then it's probably a good time for you to start adjusting things accordingly. And then if you know you're not the asshole, then it's probably the time to adjust things accordingly so that you can adapt to your situations a little better. Unless you're able to remove yourself. Get that negativity out of your life. K-Punkin? All right, if you want to get a hold of me, BHYPHEN at gmail.com, on Twitter, at B-Hyphen, Facebook, Hyphen Universe, Instagram, the B-Hyphen. If you want to go through the Hyphen Podcast Group, you can do so at hyphenpodcastgroup@gmail.com, at Hyphen Pod Group on Twitter, Hyphen Podcast Group on Facebook, and Hyphen Podcast Group on Instagram. Please take the time to go to your Apple Podcasts, your Spotify, your whatever podcast app you're listening to. But even if you listen to me on some weird BFE podcast app that doesn't have a rating system, take the time to look up Hyphenation on Apple Podcasts or on Google Podcasts. Any place you see where you can rank the show and give it 5 stars or a rating or leave a real review, please take the time to do that. And don't forget to subscribe. You'll never miss a pulse-pounding edition of the world's, of the Barack Obama-approved world's greatest podcast, if you do it that way. So keep that in mind. Please and thank you. And always, let other people know about the show so that you can talk to other people about the show. Hyphen Nation should be a water cooler event, okay? People should listen to an episode of Hyphen Nation, then literally go to work, and then run into Tommy or Sarah at the water cooler. But hey, you listen to episode 111 of Hyphen Nation, and I'm like, yeah, man, that Aaliyah tribute was dope because I didn't know where he was going. And then all of a sudden he started playing the music and I got really into it with him. And I was like, man, really asked myself, would Beyonce be Beyonce if Aaliyah was still around? Y'all need to do that. Like, I can't make y'all do that. Y'all, it's there. That's why the pod is here. You listen, you discuss, you share your feelings. And if you want to share them with me, that's even better. I don't care if it's negative energy. If you hate the show, tell me. I've always said I'll read negative reviews on here. Okay? Wherever podcasts are sold, any podcasting platform, you name it, Hyphen Nation is there, along with the rest of the great Hyphen Podcast Group shows. Okay? If you find that Hyphen Nation is not on your favorite podcast platform, let me know. I will get to fixing it. Okay? All right. I appreciate each and every one of y'all that spend time with me every time an episode drops, whether it's a whole month off like July ended up being, or whether it's this week where I'm literally dropping like 4 episodes in a week. I appreciate each and every one of y'all. I will be here as long as you're happy. Okay? I keep saying K. R.I.P. Aaliyah. go watch Something Borrowed or don't watch Something Borrowed. It's probably even better with a few stiff drinks in your hand. So, ladies and gentlemen, thanks, y'all.
Don't forget to subscribe and comment. This has been a Hyphen Podcast Network production.
Dirt at Festus. I'm getting paid at exposure.